Nation Radio, live from New York. We're here at the WABC studios, KBC affiliate in New York City, and it is fantastic to be here, I have to say. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my day. So I traveled out here, as I told you, last night after the show, and came in very early this morning, and had some meetings, and part of my day took me. You'll enjoy this. Not too many details, but I ended up in Trump Tower. And I think for all the so you've obviously seen it in the news, and during the campaign, but also during the transition, a lot of media hype and attention. One of the interesting things there, I mean, the police presence in New York already is tremendous, as you can imagine, but it is particularly focused right now in that block where Trump Tower is, between 56th and 57th on Fifth Avenue. And they've set up barricades. There's fencing. There's a fence. There's a concrete barricade. Then there are planners put out. And then there's more fencing. There's cops with fully automatic rifles. I mean, it almost looks like a bit of a war zone. And then that is contrast with all the people that are milling about. Now, you would think, right, in the world, we're told how people are loathsome of Trump, right? The Europeans and South Americans and Asians, wherever they are, all over the world, they look at what we've done here and Trump is the great abomination. But there is such a fascination with him. People are stopping in front of the building. They're taking their pictures. There's this odd giddiness. So I'm clawing my way through it. And I cross the street, and again, they've got very narrow, tiny little breaks in between the barricades at every corner, you know, where the pedestrian crossings are at an intersection. And so they've got a little break in the wall, and you can get through it. You go to the building. There's a doorman there, like all these New York big apartment buildings office buildings have a doorman out front. And that doorman is almost silly. He's outnumbered, by all there are Secret Service agents that are in uniform. There are police there that are in uniform. And like I said, it's very heavily armed. So you walk into the building. And immediately on the left-hand side, what you see are the famous elevators, right? Remember, after the election, we had the camera crew set out watching. All the reporters standing around and watching, figuring out who would come in and out of those elevators and go up to the offices of the transition team, auditioning for all those posts that we now know who's filled those positions. But that's the first part there, and then you walk into this atrium area. And in this atrium area, that's where the famous escalators are, the one that Trump rode down when he announced that he was running for president last summer or summer of 2015. And in addition to that, there are a number of stores. There's different there are different stores and restaurants. With the exception of the Starbucks that is one level up, every other store, every other restaurant is branded Trump. So I give you, for example, at the bottom, at the very, at the basement level, this one level below street level, there's a Trump grill. And then above it, there's a Trump bar. And then somewhere around the corner is a Trump cafe. And then there's a Trump gift store. Then there's a store with Ivanka Trump's jewelry, which wasn't staffed and wasn't open. It was closed. And this is all – I'll tell you, this is all so fascinating to me because this from listening to Trump, that this building is his own. And not just in the sense of the word that the real estate belongs to him. But this building is him. It's his – self-manifestation in the form of a piece of real estate. And so I think it's always interesting when you look at something like that that so profoundly represents someone that you're interested in, right, that you're curious about and want to figure out, that you see something like this. And it honestly, it made my head – I scratched my head about it a little bit. I'll tell you why. Because I'm looking at all this. I'm saying, okay, so you're a big real estate developer. You're Trump. You've built a giant high rise. You know, it's I don't know, 58 stories tall. It's huge. It's right in the location. You got to understand, the location in New York City is amazing, and you've built this huge building. And what are you doing in the restaurant business? Why do you have a cafe and a grill and a bar? I mean, you don't even drink. I mean, what's a bar there? I mean, you know, it's Trump wine, Trump steaks. This building, it's not just that it has Trump on it, but everything inside of it, down to the restaurants, has Trump all over it. And it's interesting because, of course, most developers, and if I was building a building, and hear me out on this, because there's a greater point here that shows a certain amount of evolution and maturity in respects to the presidency from the time that this building was put together. We see some evolution, and the evolution comes in this way. If I was a real estate developer and I was building a building, I cared about my brand. I wanted my brand to be successful. I wouldn't just make it all about me. I mean, I would maybe put my name on the building, but then I would, for example, with the restaurant, you'd want a celebrity chef for some big name restaurant, maybe a Mastro's or I don't know, what's the fancy place? You know, some big name chef, for example, come in and contribute to my brand. But when this building was built, I think back in the early 80s, what you know, the point of it, it was important to just everything had to be Trump, 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 Trump. And it's interesting to me because that's the accusation, of course, that's leveled at him. And you remember during the campaign, it's all about Trump. Everything's about Trump. He has to brand everything. He has to put his name on everything. He has to make everything. He has to make everything all about him. And that's what he's going to be like as president. I mean, he is going to be the person that he's going to have to be the head poobah and the grand poobah and everything. And it's interesting because there was just a terrific article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. And Daniel Henninger had this piece about Trump and about how in the piece he calls it "The Trump Presidency Begins." And the conclusion that he's drawing in it is that, you know, is that finally you see some maturity coming out of Trump, because he's in relation to China, in relation to Gorsuch, in relation to the Syria strike, he's allowing other players inside of his presidency take center stage or take the lead on things. When it comes to Gorsuch, he's allowing these senators who maybe did not particularly like him to take the lead and to make that happen. He's not having to insert himself into it the way he did previously, you know, in the 50 days before that. And the same with Syria, letting his generals, letting Mattis, and letting China, letting Tillerson play a role. And I'm looking at this, and I actually disagree with it, because I look at Trump already having started this evolution at some point far before this. Because you don't, you know, it's a different person. The guy that won't even bring in a celebrity chef into his building to class it up a little bit, I think, you know, I mean, to break up the monotony of the Trump, Trump, Trump. And yet, as president, he from the get-go was willing to bring in some truly class A, phenomenal, and I would also say attention-grabbing and headline-grabbing people. I mean, General Mattis is no shrinking violet. This is a guy who is a phenomenal, right, respected, feared leader. It is not the work of a self-aggrandizing me president to bring in someone like that for such a critical position. It's not. And the same, I would argue, with Tillerson. I mean, the guy, you know, great effort was put in the early stages of the Trump transition to bring in people that were of a certain amount of quality and that would hold their own weight in their own right. Another example of this, Nikki Haley, right? I mean, you know, she's the envoy, the ambassador to the UN. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N. But if you remember, she was one of the most outspoken critics of Trump when he was running in the not just the primaries, but then even in the general election. I mean, she was a never Trumper to the bitter end. And Trump not only promoted somebody who is articulate and who's fiery and who's got a big personality and a big brand. Nikki Haley has a brand of her own. Brought her in to a critical place where she, I mean, look at how much press she's getting. Every time we're talking about Syria, there's a clip of Nikki Haley talking. And he likes, he presumably, right? I mean, he's standing behind her, supporting her. He put her in that position. And I think this is, you know, this is where it's, I always say, the dangerous thing in any time, in anything in life, in business, as in relationships, and obviously for certainly in politics, it's dangerous to underestimate people. And when there are quick caricatures that are made, when there are quick conclusions to be made, and I can see now, I'm going through the building. And I see all the Trump restaurant, grill, bar, everything, you know, all branded, all, you know, I'm looking at it and I go, yeah, this is garish. And it doesn't help that, well, it's not my taste. No, none of it is. I mean, the gold and the red marble, I think it's some kind of a marble or granite. The polished brass, gold, everything. It's the silk plants. Oh my gosh! It's just, I mean, it curls my toes when I look at it all. Nothing about it do I particularly like, but I also see in it someone who has obviously matured, grown, and developed from the time that this whole monstrosity was put together, and his critics don't. And so his critics are the ones that are going to end up. I'm always saying this, you know, this is when you're having conversations with friends at work or for, you know, friends at home or wherever. And you guys are and they're going at you and talking to you about how horrible it is and how our country's going to go down the drain and how we're going to all be engulfed in flame and fire because we've got this megalomaniac, ego driven, obsessive, compulsive guy at its head. And it's, you know, people really do forget in those moments. You've got to remind people, you've got to remind your friends that the presidency changes people. But even before Trump stepped into office, some of these changes were already taking place. And it fascinates me. Yeah. And I'll, you know, at, and it and it's yeah. And I think it's interesting that the New Yorker, I'll get into that in a little bit, too. You know, because it's funny that people here in New York really, I mean, and a lot of people didn't vote for him because it's a progressive state. And I want to separate that, the politics away from the personality and from the culture. Because there's a culture around Trump. There's a certain style. There's a personal way he is. And it's what leads to people underestimating him. The style is almost given more points over the substance. And if you look for the substantive clues, if you look for the things that he's done and the ways that he's just in the ways he's maybe put together this cabinet, in the ways that he has put his team together, the way he is evolving his team, developing the people that are working for him, that are making everything happen and come together. As you look at that, you got to separate that away from the gilded, you know, all the gilded craziness and the brashness and even some of the pronouncements, even some of the crazier things that are said, because it's in part a distraction. And I'm convinced also that he's using some of it very deliberately, you know. But the people here in New York, I'll get into this. It's an interesting thing because it's not just about the politics. It's he really does rub him the wrong way. So I'll give you more details of Trump Tower. Fascinating place, and definitely holds a lot of clues to the man behind the building. All right. We are live in New York from WABC, and Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, will be back right after this.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, and I'm actually coming to you from New York today, as mentioned earlier, from the WABC studios, the KBC affiliate here in New York City. And it is really an honor to be in the studio. I'm a, as you know, a great lover of radio, and so many of the greats have broadcast or broadcast from the studio now currently. It's neat to be here, so consider it a great honor. And as always, I take the show with me wherever I go. So I'm here and going through some observations. I was just talking about my visit earlier today to Trump Tower. One observation about it, it's a curious place because it's become a pilgrimage point, I think, for so many people who are Trump supporters. And in that sense, the crowd is a little bit different in there than your average building of its type in New York. Now, I'm not drawing any conclusions on people based on how they look, but I am. You go to New York and you start to get a sense that there's a divide between town and country. You know, New Yorkers, they immediately, this is just my outsider perspective because I don't live here. And as a visitor, I always feel I'm getting sized up. You know, are you good enough to be eating at the restaurant that are you good enough to be eating at my favorite restaurant? Are you good enough to be drinking coffee in my coffee shop? I was telling Sherry, we were going through a department store a little bit later this afternoon evening, and I said the people are looking like sizing me up. They're looking at my shoes. They're looking at how I'm dressed, and that's kind of, there's a divide here between people that live here and that are city dwellers and that are sophisticated, and the folks in the country that aren't. And nowhere to me is it more evident, because if you go to, you know, fancy restaurants, you see a bunch of New Yorkers and other fancy people from out of town. But you go to Trump Tower, and normally in an office building, I'm telling you this, in an office building here, you would see a lot of locals. But because of the presidency, because of who Trump has become, you have a lot of people going in there. Now, some of them, of course, you know, taking pictures out of curiosity or maybe wanting them to take a protest photo or whatnot. But there are, I think, a lot, as I observed it, a lot of people in there who were smiling. They were really happy to have their picture taken. As I'm going in, there was a group of young ladies, three or four of them, and they wanted me to take a picture of them in front of the sign of the building. And I'm telling you, like, they weren't there because they were protesting Trump. Far from it. They were smiling. They were giddy. They loved it. They had a certain reverential air about them. And I saw that in others too. I saw that in others as well. This is important because there are two approaches to looking at Trump Tower, and most snobby, and I would say left-leaning New Yorkers, look at it and see this building that is gold and gaudy and ugly, and it got Trump, Trump, Trump all over it. But then you know what? These kids that were coming from, I don't know, Pennsylvania or wherever, and they're coming into the big city and they're seeing this building. Do you know what they see? They see a skyscraper that a guy built from nothing. They see the American dream come true. They see a guy who, is kind of one of them that has created something. Now, of course, Trump came from a bit of money, but he far and away exceeded what his what his dad was and whatnot. So there is this difference. There is this marked separation between what the country folk are looking at when they see this building, and some of the snobby locals are thinking when they're looking at it. All right, I'll give you more of that and talk about some of the things that are also happening in the news today. It's been crazy again. We've got John Wolfe with the news and Sam Rzhovsky here. I'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, broadcasting live from New York here in the WABC studios, the KBC affiliate station, right on top of Madison Square Gardens in the heart of the city. I'm living the dream. I love it. Now, lots of things going on. Did you see this Katy Perry nonsense? Katy Perry, you know, the singer. She said that Trump's victory brought back some childhood trauma. This is why I love to unpackage and examine Trump for who he is and what the reality of the Trump phenomena really is. Because there's so much stupid stuff like this being said. What kind of trauma exactly is that? I'll read to you here. It's some misogyny. Apparently, there was some serious misogyny and sexism in her childhood, and she has an issue with suppressive males. So Trump, the suppressive male, as I was telling you, brings in, for example, Nikki Haley. Right, she's the UN ambassador now, and one of his staunchest rivals. Right, somebody who was, by the way, described during the primaries as a rising star in the Republican Party. Her name was being talked about as someone who would and will someday become president, and was almost put out there as a look, Republicans, Nikki Haley is the one you ought to have not. She's the one who should be running, and she'd be beating all these clowns, Trump included, up and down. Remember, that was the conventional wisdom, and I'm bringing this up to say that the dismissal of Trump, both as a misogynist and more seriously as somebody who is a self-involved, self-promoting, self-branding obsessed person. I was talking about the visit to Trump Tower and seeing, Trump everywhere on the cafes, on the shops, on the this, that, and the other. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, the Trump of today is different. And he's different because he's willing to promote big people into big roles around him. And if it were the same Trump that so many of his critics claim can't share the stage with anyone, then he wouldn't be putting great people into these roles. He would not be putting people into these roles that have their own powerful brands. And I think what it shows is that there's a certain amount of maturity here, which I know, of course, but many of his critics absolutely do not, and stupidly refuse to acknowledge. And it's evident that not only does the presidency change most men who walk into that office, and I'm sure it would be a woman too if we had a woman president, but so far just men. Throwing that out for Katy Perry, just in case she's listening. But the point, of course, right, is that you've got somebody here who's willing to put great people in important roles. And it's funny that even when the evidence, even when the proof of this maturity is right there being talked about by the media, even if it's right in front of your face, they still won't acknowledge it. Did you hear about that bomb that was dropped today? Yeah, there's a giant bomb, an MOAB, that was dropped in Afghanistan. The mother of all bombs is what it's called by the military. It's not a nuke, but it's the next biggest thing. Yeah, so when we come back, I want to tell you, so this has been a news story today. Everybody's talking about it. And one of the things that they're talking about is how Trump is refusing to say who dropped it and who ordered the drop. Did you hear about this? Okay, when we come back, I want to get into this because it actually exactly illustrates the point that I've been making. All right, hang in there. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here. Yes, talking about Trump and this news. By the way, in New York today, broadcasting from WABC studios here in Midtown. All right. Now, look, this. I was in Trump Tower earlier, and I was explaining how I went in and you know, everything's branded Trump, and it jarred some memories of some things that I'd been reading and had been hearing about Trump over the last little while. And the common criticism, of course, is that it's all about him. It's all about his brand, me, me, me. And I was just explaining how, you know, even when the exact opposite is in the news, right, where Trump is being, you know, maybe not that way, and I'll give you a great illustration here in a second, the media, the hostile media, still doesn't see it for what it is. Here's the great example that I have, that just, you know, today you heard about that giant bomb that we dropped on ISIS in Afghanistan. Great move. The MOAB, otherwise known as the mother of all bombs. This thing is huge. It's 22,000 pounds, and it is the largest non-nuclear bomb we have in our arsenal. Now, CNN did some reporting on this, and as per usual, this is great. So CNN usually calls Trump, you know, the guy that's, you know, taking credit for everything and all that. And now you heard that there's a press conference, and Trump wouldn't say who dropped the bomb. And CNN's whole shtick here is that that Trump refused to say who dropped the bomb, and that it seems, and CNN's been reporting this all day, it seems that that Trump isn't in charge of these decisions. So I'm just confused. You know, what I'm telling you, my opinion is that the president is a lot more mature and a lot more evolved. And a lot more willing to include big people in his, you know, big personalities and powerful, strong leaders into the White House that is his, right? But he's willing to share the stage, and his critics won't accept it. So that when Trump is actually in the news, refusing to take credit for what I think is widely being considered a good move, right? His supporters want him to go after ISIS. Dropping a giant bomb on an ISIS stronghold is a good thing. And all of a sudden, you've got Trump up there saying, yeah, I don't manage these day-to-day decisions, and it's not what I do, and so that's all I'm going to tell you about this. And the media, the drive-bys, are having a cow. A reason being is they're calling him, I don't know, they're saying he's weak, he doesn't know what he's done, he's not involved, he's aloof, he was probably golfing or whatnot. You know, if it was the Trump that had built Trump Tower, if it was the Trump from 30 years ago, I mean, that's the guy, the caricature, at least, of that guy would be a Trump that gets up there in the press briefing and says, I did it. I did it. I dropped the biggest bomb ever in the history. I did it. I personally put it in the airplane. I loaded it on. I flew it over there and I dropped it. It is what it is. No matter what the story is, whichever way it goes, it's always too much or too little. I think being Trump is like being in one of those relationships where no matter what you do, you can't do anything right. Like Trump in the media. I think we've all had an ex like that where no matter what you do, you're always wrong. Unbelievable. I know. And I'll tell you, the building is, it is incredible. And what I said earlier, what I said about regular people going into it and being in awe that someone built a huge building like that from scratch, that it wasn't some nameless, faceless company, but a guy that built a building, something very American about that. Something very cool. And I think it's part of the reason for why people are drawn to him. Especially people from that maybe don't live in Midtown Manhattan themselves. All right, Sam Rogowski will be back right after this.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
So, are you driving? Are you in the car? Were you in the car today? There's a strong chance that you have answered yes to at least one of those questions. And if you have, you've probably seen some pretty terrible driving out on the road. And I am here to tell you that, well, gosh forbid, hopefully you never get into an accident. But if you do, do not try to solve it on your own. It's the number one mistake people make. It really is. They get a call from the insurance company. They think, I'm going to go to them, palms up. I'm going to tell them everything that happened, and they're going to be fair with me. Wrong. Not what happens. Get a lawyer, and get a lawyer fast. Get a lawyer right away, and make sure you get the right lawyer. And the right lawyer, as you know if you listen to this program, is none other than Sweet James Bergner himself. He is someone who will fight for you, who will make sure that you get everything that you deserve. And most importantly, that the insurance company will not take advantage of you. Give him a call, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And remember, you go to him, he takes your case, no recovery, no fee. You do not pay him a dime unless he recovers a settlement for you. You also visit his website, sweetjames.com, for all the details. Sam Rogowski here, and as stated before, coming to you live from New York, we're at the WABC studios, the KABC affiliate here in Midtown Manhattan, and the show is on the road, and I was at Trump Tower earlier today, and here's another thing. My parents are from Europe, and there's a fundamental difference between Europeans. And it's a generalization, but hear me out. Between Europeans and Americans. So I remember my uncle started doing pretty well for himself, and he bought a new car. And his neighbor came out of his house and goes, "Oh, wow, that's a nice car, man. I really. And you could tell there was a certain amount of jealousy and envy. And I remember about 2 months later. Here at home in California, where I grew up in Irvine, my mom buys a new car, and my neighbor comes out and goes, "Good for you! That's awesome! Can I see it? That's a beautiful. Oh, I really want one like that. That's beautiful." And that's what we are. I mean, we, America is this place where we don't begrudge people success. In fact, we are inspired by it. And I'll add this to this, right? It's not just about being American. Also, conservatives, right? This is one of the difference, key differences. So why I am conservative, why I believe in the hope of success. I do not believe that you get ahead by being jealous and by begrudging other people's their success. Doesn't help. It doesn't get you anywhere. Jealousy literally is one of the most stagnating forces out there. And so what I'm telling you is when people go out and see Trump Tower, while some of the jealous liberals around are looking at it and see this, you know, gaudy interior decorating, the people that are coming from out of town, coming from small towns, looking as Trump as their president, they go into that. And you know what they see? They see a guy that built the skyscraper. And they see a guy that they relate to that built a skyscraper. And it is tremendously motivating. And that explains when I told you earlier, I saw those girls smiling and taking their pictures in the lobby and wanted me to take a picture. And they were just pleased as punch. Because there was an element of there's an aspirational element to it, and it is uniquely American, and it is what distinguishes conservatism from liberalism. All right, I will be back here tomorrow in the WABC studios, live from New York, tomorrow night at 7. Look forward to it. Talk to you then. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Choose not the life of imitation. Distant doesn't do the reservation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.